Kuldaveta Sridhar was thinking in his heart, silently, if I don't give this Brahmin whatever he wants, he may hit me with his fist someday. And besides that, what is the loss if I give to a Brahmin? And he felt such intimate, spontaneous love for Nimai. So he said, you can take whatever you like. And the Lord said, actually, you have a very, very great treasure, but you are hiding it underground so that nobody knows how wealthy you really are. Sridhar said, why are you saying like this? He said, you can go to my house, you can search. Whatever you see is what I have. He said, no, I know. You have a great treasure, and you are hiding it from the world. But someday, I will expose that treasure for everyone to see. Kuldaveta Sridhar was bewildered. He said, you just take whatever you like. And be happy. Then the Lord asked him, who do you think I am? And Sridhar said, you are the best amongst men. You are a Brahmin, an exalted, glorious Brahmin. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I am a cowherd boy. Kuldaveta Sridhar. He is Kushamapida. He is one of the most intimate cowherd boy friends of Braj Bhumi. But he could not recognize what the Lord was speaking because he was bewildered by Yogamaya. He said, I am a cowherd boy. And ultimately, I am the creator and proprietor of everything that exists. In fact, my glories are so great that Mother Ganga is only exalted and worshipable because she emanates from me. Kuldaveta Sridhar was shocked. Put his hands over his ears. Said, alas, alas, what are you saying? You are not afraid even to offend Mother Ganga? Said, Nimai, it is said that mischievous children become more polite and well-behaved as they grow older. But as you're growing older, you're becoming more and more crazy with this, your mischievous behavior. In this way, every day, for a couple hours, the Lord had these beautiful, loving exchanges with Sridhar. Besides supplying, actually, the Lord, whatever he ate at home, was always on the banana leaves supplied by Sridhar. And every now and then, a pumpkin, just a wild pumpkin, would grow from the thatched roof of Kuldaveta Sridhar's hut. And he would always present that to Lord Chaitanya. Oh, that was Lord Chaitanya's very, very special preparation. He would bring it home and have Sachimata boil it in milk with sugar and rice. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu roamed throughout Navadvip, charming everyone's hearts and engaging everyone in his loving service that he would meet. One full moon night, Lord Gauranga became so charmed with the countenance of the moon that he deeply pondered upon Vrindavan Chandra, Krishna, who is the moon of Vrindavan. And then he created, by his own divine potency, the song of Krishna's flute. He wasn't playing a flute. He just created the sound of Krishna's flute. And only one person could hear it. That was Sachi Devi, his mother. When Sachi Devi heard the ambrosial nectar of Krishna's flute, Lord Chaitanya later on said, when Krishna's flute enters into the ears of the gopis, it's like a bird that comes into the ears and builds a nest so that you cannot hear anything else. Enters into the heart and just plunders the heart. Sachi Mata fainted in ecstasy when she heard. Then she got up and the flute was still playing. She was weeping. She was beside herself. She was just intoxicated by this nectar. And she was wondering, where is it coming from? It seemed to be coming from the direction of Nimai's room. So she entered into Nimai's room. And what did she see? There was Sri Gaurasundara. She saw the moon and the sky emanating from his chest. Sachi Mata, this vision was too much for her. She just went into her own room and just cried in ecstasy, not knowing what's happening in my life. These were everyday affairs for Sachi Mata. Sri Sachi Devi, sometimes she would hear the sound of singing and clapping and dancing. The Lord actually revealed the soundtrack of the Ras Leela. And only Sachi Mata could hear it. Other times she heard celestial singers, demigods, kinaras, gandharvas, beautiful instrumentations. Extraordinary visions and sounds were manifesting again and again. Because the Lord, in his gratitude to his mother's love, was giving her so much nectar. And yet, she never even suspected that he could be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the most wonderful thing about it. She didn't know how or why any of these things were happening to her. Because she simply loved Nimai as her son. She could not conceive of him in any other way. Navadvip, although everyone was debating and arguing with one another, with so many very scholarly topics, there was one thing everyone was united on, the glory and the fame of Navadvip as the high seat of learning. But something happened that was like an arrow that just pierced everyone's heart with fear and apprehension. What was that? There was a Digvijay Pandit who hailed from Kashmir. And we know today that Kashmir is a place with many problems. So this Keshava Kashmiri, he was an unalloyed devotee of Saraswati Devi, the goddess of all wisdom, speech, art, and learning. He worshipped her with so much sincerity, like no one else. She was his Ishta Devi, and he just gave his life, his soul, his everything to satisfy Saraswati Devi. And she was so very pleased with his one-pointed devotion
that she actually appeared to him and gave him the benediction that in all the three worlds, you will never be defeated. In all the three worlds, you will conquer. You will conquer all your opponents and become Digvijay Pandit. From that day on, every time he opened his mouth, Goddess Saraswati personally incarnated on his tongue to speak through him. Who could possibly debate against him? Nobody. He traveled to Mithila, to Varanasi, to the southern Sri Rangam and all of these. He traveled all around to Dwarka, to Mathura, the places of Himalayas. And he would challenge all the scholars of those places to debate. And he spoke so eloquently that when he challenged someone, nobody could even understand what in the world he was saying. So how can you defeat somebody like that? Literally, every verse of every Vedic scripture was just instantly just available on his tongue. So he conquered everywhere. And he had a Digvidrai, a Vijay Patra, where whoever he defeated had to sign that I have been defeated by Keshav Kashmiri. And he would just go to a place and just challenge everyone. And nobody had a chance. His reputation was growing and growing and growing. He entered into Navadvip. It was the final, last place that he was going to conquer over. Now, the scholars of Navadvip, they were so proud, arrogant, confident, they weren't really afraid of anybody. But they knew that Goddess Saraswati is on his tongue. He is her favorite. How could we possibly argue against her? So they realized that the fame and glory of Navadvip was about to be crushed. Every household in Navadvip was in total anxiety. Except the Vaishnavas, because they couldn't care less. But everybody else, that's all they were talking about. The Digvijay Pandit is coming. He's going to challenge, and who's going to possibly stand before him? So one evening, just on the bank of the Ganga, close to where we're sitting, Nimai Pandit was sitting with his students. It was a beautiful full moon night. Thousands of students were gathered in a circle around him as he was giving his lessons. Some of the students informed him of the state of affairs of Sri Navadvip town. They said, "The Digvijay Pandit has come. The whole town is in chaos. You know what he's done? He's already proclaimed to everyone that he is the supreme in argument and debate. And he's challenged anyone, and not a single man of Navadvip has come before him. And now he's demanding that everyone signs his certificate because no one will accept his challenge. Do you know how he's come?" Nimai was listening. Said he has come in a procession with elephants, horses, palanquins, chariots, marching bands, hundreds of Brahmins chanting slokas, and thousands of people. Wherever he goes, he travels with this entourage. Lord Gauranga simply smiled. He said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, never tolerates false pride. Whenever Krishna sees false pride, in due course of time, he will crush that pride into powder. A tree with good ripe fruits and a human being who has virtuous and good qualities, they are always bowing their heads down at all times to all. That is the symptom of a person who is virtuous. One who keeps his head up is not a man of virtue. This man is arrogant. Nahusha, Haihaya, Ravana, they were very proud, they were very learned, they were very powerful, but they were all struck down by the Lord. And similarly, within a few days, you watch and see, this Digvijay Pandit, his pride will be smashed. Hare Krishna. That is a good lesson for all of us as well. The Digvijay Pandit couldn't find a single opponent. So he was just walking around along the bank of the Ganga. And he happened to see this assembly of young students. And in the center was this beautiful personality that captivated his heart. He was wondering, who is this? Could this be that grammar teacher, Nimai? Keshav Kashmiri bowed down to Mother Ganga and took some water upon his head. Then he stood in the outskirts of the crowd of students and he asked one of them, can you tell me who is that? The student said, that is the great Nimai Pandit. Nimai sat in the Virasan, giving so many wonderful, beautiful lessons with such a sweet, loving voice. Digvijay Pandit entered into the center. There Nimai saw him and very graciously and respectfully welcomed him. Oh, you are the great Keshava Kashmiri. You are the all-conquering Digvijay Pandit. I'm just a simple, ordinary teacher of the most basic of all subjects, Sanskrit grammar. And these are my students. We are so very, very honored and fortunate that such a learned and great personality as yourself has come to us. Please, please, we want to learn from you. Please compose beautiful poetry in glorification of Mother Ganga. Keshav Kashmiri, within a moment, in his heart, he composed, began to speak. Eloquent Sanskrit prose came out of his mouth. It was so beautiful that the students were absolutely enthralled. They were in awe. With no preparation whatsoever, he just on the spot composed 100 verses in praise of Mother Ganga. And these were not just ordinary verses. He spoke for 3 full hours without the slightest break. And it was all original composition. Can anyone do that? 3 hours of original, beautiful Sanskrit poetry praising Ganga. And the students were just, no one can do like this. We have never seen, we have never heard. Yes, what we have heard is true. Goddess Saraswati resides upon his tongue. When he finally finished, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he said, "That was beautiful poetry. We're very honored and grateful that you have done this. Such beautiful alankars, decorations, and poetic ornaments. But now we would like to analyze your poem very nicely. Please explain to us its opulent strengths and also its faults." Nobody ever said this to Keshav Kashmiri. He looked at Nimai, he said, "My poetry is peerless. There is never a trace of any fault." "Which verse do you see a fault?" Nimai said, "I see faults in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end." Digvijaya Pandit was becoming very disturbed. He said, "You are a mere teacher of basic children's grammar. And I am the most learned, undefeated champion scholar in the entire world. And you think you could find fault in my composition?" Nimai said, "Who you are, who I am, that is not. I'm just asking you to explain, you know, why there are faults in your poetry." So where is there a fault? And Nimai recited a particular verse. Keshav Kashmiri became very alarmed. He said, "How did you remember that verse? For 3 hours I recited verses and I was speaking with the speed of the raging wind. How could you remember this verse?" He said, "By the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are empowered to be a Digvijaya Pandit, and I am empowered to be a Shrutidhar. That means anything I hear, I remember forever." The Lord said, "Your poem is so wonderful, nobody could even understand what you're saying." And then the Lord pointed out the contradictions, the defects, and the breaking of the rules of grammar that he had committed in his recitation. Digvijaya Pandit tried to argue against him, but everything that Digvijaya Pandit said, Lord Chaitanya effortlessly just crushed to pieces. He tried to somehow defend himself, but everything he said was just utterly smashed by this little boy. He was bewildered. And then Nimai said, "Anyways, let's go to the next fault." "Now defend this." Keshav Kashmiri could not speak a word. His entire mind became totally blank. His tongue was frozen. It couldn't even move. So he tried with all of his might to say something to defend his reputation, his fame, his prestige. He couldn't speak. And nothing could, the thought even came to his mind. At that point, he didn't know who he was, didn't know where he was, and he didn't know what he was supposed to do or what he could possibly say. When all the thousands of children saw him in that state, they all began to laugh very loudly. Lord Chaitanya immediately told him, quiet, no laughing. The Lord is merciful. He heard about this Digvijay Pandit. He was thinking in his heart, how to break this person's pride without ending his life. This man is so arrogant. He's so proud. Must be defeated. But if I defeat him publicly, the shame, the embarrassment will be so unbearable that he will definitely die. He won't be able to bear the pain. So I must crush his pride in a very secretive way, in such a way that I do not cause pain. And that's exactly what Nimai Pandit did. It wasn't in a big champion tournament, just on the bank of the Ganges with some intimate students. When Keshava Kashmiri was absolutely paralyzed in bewilderment, then I smiled at him and said, actually, your poem is very nice. You have bestowed such good fortune upon us by blessing us with this beautiful, beautiful composition. Now, please go home and study your books, and tomorrow I will ask you some more questions. Digvijay Pandit couldn't say a word. He just turned around and went to his residence. He was devastated. He was thinking, why? He wasn't humiliated, because the Lord defeated him in such a way that there was actually no humiliation. He was devastated because the goddess Saraswati, she had forsaken him. She gave him the benediction that whenever he opened his mouth, she would be there to speak. But she disappeared. He was thinking, he was praying to Goddess Saraswati. He was chanting mantras, performing pujas, doing meditations, just praying. Saraswati Devi, did I offend you? What have I done? Why? How could you do this? How could you let me be defeated by a mean child who's a grammar teacher? In this mood, he fell asleep. In his sleep, Saraswati Devi appeared before him in a dream. She said, my dear Pandit, my dear devotee, please know that today you have received the ultimate fortune of your life. That person you met today, he is the creator of all the universal creations. He is the Lord of all living beings. He is the supreme absolute truth. He is Krishna, incarnated in this earth, age of Kali. And myself, I am eternally his simple, insignificant, obedient maidservant. You are wondering, how is it that I did not stand to protect you before him? I tell you because it's impossible. Even Lord Anandashesha, with 1,000 heads that is chanting the Vedas constantly, cannot stand before the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and the greatest of the sages cannot stand before the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when the Lord presented his arguments to me, when he stood before you, I was powerless to speak anything in his presence. This is my pundit. He has previously appeared. Lord Sri Ramchandra. To kill and destroy the pride of the wicked Ravana. He appeared as Vanadev to cheat and destroy the pride of Baba Maharaj and ultimately was worshipped by him as his life and soul. He appeared as Mahadev to curb the pride of Hiranyaksha and lift the earth between his tusks. He appeared as Kurma to lift the Mandara Mountain and facilitate the demons and the demigods who were left powerless without his help. He is Lord Krishna. He has appeared as the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Yashoda and Gokul. He is everyone's worshipable Lord. Because you are my devotee, I've given you a benediction. But you understand, the real essence of my benediction to you is not that you became a Digvijay pundit with all knowledge of the Vedas. The real benediction I gave you has borne its mature fruit today. Today, you stood face to face with the Lord of all worlds, the Supreme Absolute Truth, who has appeared in this age of Kali to distribute love of God profusely to everyone. Now you go to him and you surrender your life and soul. That is my benediction upon you. Do not think that this is just a dream. Understand this to be my will. And if you tell anyone what I told you, you will die. Then Saraswati Devi disappeared. Immediately after this dream broke, Digvijay Pandit woke up and this was rising. He went right to Lord Chaitanya's house and fell, dandavat obeisances again and again with tears of humility in his eyes. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him and said, Digvijay Pandit, what are you doing? Why are you doing like this? And he explained. He explained that I can understand that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know how? Because there is no one in all of creation that is as intelligent as you. I have traveled to every place of knowledge throughout the world. And I have defeated everyone. The greatest scholars, they would flee, they would run away when I would come. And I became so proud and so arrogant. But you totally defeated me without hurting my heart. That's impossible. To defeat an arrogant scholar like me without hurting my heart is only something that the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do. Because you are an ocean of kindness and compassion. Goddess Saraswati has appeared to me and revealed to me who you are. I want to surrender my life to you. Please instruct me. The Lord explained to Keshav Kashmiri that real knowledge is not the ability to conquer others, but real knowledge is that which brings one to pure loving service to Lord Krishna. The only real knowledge is devotional service. Everything else is an illusion. Everything else is the act of Maya. Except for devotional service to Sri Krishna, everything is a source of suffering. It will all be destroyed by the power of time. Therefore, there is no value. There is no value whatsoever in anything except love for Krishna. The Lord embraced Keshav Kashmiri. And when he embraced him, Keshav Kashmiri's entire being was just thrilled in the ecstasy of love. The Lord accepted him and bestowed love of Krishna upon him. And then he gave his final instruction to Keshav Kashmiri. He said, "The essence of all knowledge and the goal of life is to be free from all false pride, to always worship Krishna, and to show compassion to all other living beings." Keshav Kashmiri, in the ecstasy of pure Krishna consciousness, offered repeated obeisances at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. He renounced all his material life, all of his elephants, his horses, his chariots, all of his followers, everything. He just silently, without speaking anything to anyone, just left Navadvip Dham. His heart immersed in transcendental eternal happiness, constantly meditating on the beautiful form and mercy of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When the word spread that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Keshav Kashmiri, then his glories were chanted everywhere, not only in Navadvip, but in all directions. Should I continue? Yes?
Yes.
How many of you are sleeping? How many of you are inclined towards sleeping? Either you're self-realized or you're very polite. In Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's home, Lakshmi Devi was such a very, very loving wife. She is the Lord's eternal consort. She would make the house every day meticulously clean in every sense. She would cook all the meals. In the deity room, she would make everything wonderful for the deity and to help her husband in his worship. She would make light incense, make garlands, draw beautiful pictures with those powders on the floor of conch shells and flowers and designs. She would make everything so very, very pleasing for the pleasure of the deity and the pleasure of her husband when he came to worship them. And most of all, her life and soul were completely sold to making Sachi Devi happy in every possible way. There was nothing she would not do for the pleasure of Lord Gaurasundara and his beloved mother. When Lord Chaitanya saw that day and night she never stopped serving, his heart experienced so great pleasure. Her love for him had such a deep effect in his heart that he expressed it with such deep love for her. And the Lord would often bring so many guests. One time he just walked in the house with 20 sannyasis. No advanced warning. No, there are some wives that would not appreciate this. I'm not going to mention names, but you know who they are, if you're one of them. So he just came into the house with 20 hungry sannyasis. And he didn't even have to say anything. Immediately Lakshmi Devi just cooked a whole, she had to get the boga and this and that, and cooked a whole feast. Wonderful feast. Lakshmi Devi never complained, never criticized. She was just eager and grateful and enthusiastic to serve. And she never stopped serving. Thus, Sachi Mata, in the association of Lakshmi Devi, really felt that she was living in Vaikuntha. And Lord Chaitanya, seeing the happiness that she was giving her mother, his mother, was very, very, very much showering his blessings upon Lakshmi Devi. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told his mother and wife that he was going to go to Bangladesh to give lessons to the people there. Of course, Sachi Mata and Lakshmi Priya, to them, the Lord leaving for several months was an intolerable thought. But ultimately, their life and soul was simply his pleasure. They could not say anything against it. He happily said, "I am leaving for Bangladesh. I'll be back in about 2 months." And with some of his students, he departed. They walked the distance. When they came to the wide, beautiful Padmavati River, they were very happy. Clear, fresh water flowing. There was lotuses in the flower, and on the banks, beautiful, pristine, virgin forests. It was such an enchanting scene. Nimai and his students simply sat on the banks of the Padmavati after taking their bath, just enjoying the atmosphere. Soon the word spread that the great Nimai Pandit has come to Bangladesh to accept students. This was incredible. From all over the country of Bangladesh, thousands and thousands and thousands of people were swarming to hear from Nimai Pandit. They were talking amongst themselves that we're poor people. Actually,
Some of us, we've been saving money for years just to go to Navadvip to study under Nimai Pandit. And now he's come here to freely teach anyone who wants to learn. So he immediately had thousands and thousands of students. He was such an expert teacher. And he was so empowered to empower his students to understand whatever he taught, that within a matter of 2 months, every one of his students was an exalted scholar, which would generally take minimum 12 years to attain under any other teacher. They were so grateful. Meanwhile, while he was in Bangladesh, Lakshmi Devi was suffering such unbearable separation. She loved her lord and husband so dearly that it was just impossible for her to live. But she didn't want to cause anyone else any suffering. So she never said a word to anyone about what was in her heart. She tried to pretend to be normal to Mother Sachi and all other relatives and friends. But in her heart there was a blazing, unbearable fire just burning. She couldn't eat. She couldn't sleep. She would just perform her chores, and whenever possible, she would just go to a secluded place and weep incessantly. Then come back out and pretend she was all right and perform her duties. Nobody detected, because she didn't want to cause anyone grief. She just silently suffered. Until it came to a crescendo of so much pain, because by then the Lord was gone for 2 months. Lakshmi Devi went to the bank of the Ganga. And there, in the core of her heart, she placed the lotus feet of her beloved Lord, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. She fixed her mind exclusively in his loving service. And at that point, the snake of separation took her life. She returned to the side of her beloved. But she left an illusory body behind on the bank of the Ganga. When this news came to Sachi Mata, her heart was shattered. Lakshmi Devi was just a teenage girl. So young. So perfect in every way. How would Sachi Mata live without her companionship? And worse than that, Sachi Mata was thinking, how much my son, Nimai, loves her. How much pain this will cause him. Sachi Mata could not even speak. She was drowning in an ocean of grief. While meanwhile, her son, Nimai Pandit, was in Bangladesh, surrounded by thousands of students, telling all kinds of jokes and humoring everybody and just charming everyone's hearts. He was not just a teacher. He was the ultimate object of love of all of his students. So, when the time came for him to return,
He announced that he will be returning to Bengal. At that time, all of his students came from all directions to bring him precious gifts of gratitude. They were bringing gold and jewels and blankets and silks for him to bring back to Navadvip with him. So he had a treasure of valuables that he was going to return with to present to Sachi Devi. At that time, there was a Brahmin. We can't complain because we do this to people all the time. But you know, it's definitely a minimal token of reaction. There was a Brahmin whose name was Tapan Mishra. Very pure in heart. Very sincere. He wanted to know what is the highest goal of life and how to achieve it. He studied vast quantities of scriptures. Very learned. He went to so many holy men and professors and asked the same question. What is the ultimate goal of life and how to achieve it? But through all of his studies and all of his darshans with great persons, he was never ever satisfied. So he was in great anguish. Because unless one understands the answer to these two questions, life is futile. It's essentially meaningless. So he was praying and praying and praying, chanting the mantras that he had received to try to understand what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. He was literally crying and begging for the answers, but he couldn't find them anywhere. One night he had a dream. A divine personality appeared to him and told him that the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, has appeared in Bangladesh. He is Nimai Pandit. He's teaching many students on the bank of the Ganges. He is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Go to him and he will tell you what is the highest goal of life and how to achieve it. So on the day when Nimai Pandit was saying goodbye to everyone, there was crowds of people. In the midst of all of them, Tapan Mishra came through the crowds and fell at the feet of the Lord, offering prayers with such a earnest and sincere heart. He prayed that I am a most sinful person. I am most fallen. I am most ignorant. I'm utterly bound by material attachments. I cannot escape the clutches of Maya. Please save me. Please tell me what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. The Lord replied that there is only one supreme goal of life, and that is to attain loving devotional service to Lord Krishna. Everything else is illusion. Everything else will be destroyed by the power of time. The one goal of life you should fix your mind on is pure devotional service to Krishna. and how to achieve that goal? Krishna descends in every age to reveal the process. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chuduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami yuge yuge. That he comes again and again to reestablish the principles of religion, annihilate the miscreants, and protect his devotees. He comes in every age to teach the way. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Garga Muni has explained that these Yugavatars, they have appeared in different colors. He has appeared in a white form, in a red form, in a yellow form, and now he is appearing in a beautiful blackish form. Then he quoted from the Shastra that in Dwapara Yuga one can attain the ultimate perfection of life through meditation. In Treta Yuga one can attain that same perfection through sacrifice. In Dwapara Yuga by serving the lotus feet of the Lord. And in Kali Yuga it is by the chanting of the holy names. Then Lord Chaitanya quoted to Tapan Mishra the verse from Brihadnaradiya Purana. Harinama, harinama, harinameva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiran yatha. That in this age of Kali, the chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari is the only way to attain perfection. There is no other way, no other way, no other way. That Krishna has descended within the sound of his name. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna in Sankirtan, one can achieve the ultimate goal of love of Krishna. And now I will teach you how to chant. Repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This 16-word, 32-syllable mantra is called the Maha Mantra. And by chanting it sincerely, pure love of Krishna will sprout from the core of your heart and you will achieve the ultimate goal of life. It is interesting because according to the biographies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this was the first time Lord Chaitanya revealed the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In fact, he was in Navadvip just talking about grammatical arguments before he even revealed his mission of Harinam Sankirtan. He spoke these intimate truths to Tapan Mishra. What a special soul he was. Tapan Mishra fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet crying in ecstasy. Then he asked the Lord if he would come to a secluded place. Then he told the Lord that a divine being appeared to me and revealed to me that you are Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, yes, it is true. But do not tell anyone what you have heard. That is my order. Tapan Mishra, I know your mission. In Navadvip Dham, you are soon going to establish the Yuga Dharma of Harinam Sankirtan. I want to be there in Navadvip, in your association, amongst your devotees, to serve you. I'm ready to leave at once. Lord Chaitanya surprised him. He said, my order to you is go and reside in Varanasi. Varanasi was a place known for Mayavadis only. But this was Thapa Misha's surrender. His heart's desire was to just go back with the Lord. He finally discovered the goal of life was standing right before him. And come to this glorious land of Srinagarvi Dham, the supreme abode of the Lord. And he was sent to Varanasi. And he obeyed. Because that is the nature of pure devotional service. We do not serve the Lord for our pleasure. We serve the Lord for His pleasure. So Thapa Misha resided in Varanasi. Prakashananda Saraswati, who was like a king amongst the Mayavadis,